Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter said or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Edgar Allan Poe's poem The Raven introduces us to a sinister gothic creature, both knowing and unknowable. But Poe's raven isn't the only black-eyed bird to haunt men with their eerie, mysterious power. If you travel from Poe's dark Americana back to the old world, there are six ravens that hold an entire country hostage with their power. As the superstition goes, if they ever leave the Tower of London, England itself will fall. Hi everyone, I'm Alastair Murden, and this is Superstitions, a Spotify original from Parcast. Somewhere, at the intersection of the common and the bizarre, of tradition and fear, lie superstitions. On this show, we head straight for that intersection and tell you stories about what exactly might happen if you found yourself there. Today, we're looking at a uniquely British belief. There must always be at least six ravens in the Tower of London, or the castle will fall, and the kingdom with it. Wild ravens have hovered around the tower since ancient times, but as legend has it, the superstition dates back to the 17th century. It was delivered to the king as a prophecy, so he decreed that a flock of unkindness of ravens be kept in the tower forever. They live there to this day, tended to by their raven master. But the tower's raven masters haven't always been able to keep the tricky birds in line. Life and war have gotten in the way. I'll tell you a story about one such time as bombs fall and ravens fly. In a moment, bombs fall and ravens fly.
It feels like we're all being told to go on this diet, take that supplement.
Ozempic will give you depression, but you know what'll cure that? Weed. Or you could try to balance your hormones. At Science Versus, we're like,
what the f*** is going on?
Forget the crap online and listen to Science Versus. Just the facts. Oh, and a bunch of stupid jokes.
What is a ghost's favorite fruit? Booberries.
That's Science VS. New season out on Spotify soon.
Tom sat at a table in the back of the brewery, head in his hands as a news report droned. More English boys dying in France and all around the blasted world. But his mind was on a loss closer to home. Last week, one of the Nazi bombs had finally hit an alley near the brewery and killed one of his errand boys, a young lad named Bobby Harris. He was just a boy. Boys were all Tom could get to work the vats of beer these days, boys and a few old men like himself. He couldn't shake the thought that Bobby would have been safe in a shelter. The boy's blood was on his hands, and he'd never forgiven himself for that. He banged his fist against the desk, then stood up and poured himself some beer. He wanted to keep the operation going. London's exhausted, demoralized populace needed its beer now more than ever. And he was an old man. He couldn't fight, so he helped England how he could. But if keeping the brewery going meant children dying on his watch, the people would damn well have to live without their beer. He took a long, slow drink of his pint and began to pace. His feet carried him out into the deserted evening road, where the constant London drizzle seeped through his work shirt. What he wouldn't give to see this street the way it looked before the war, bustling with men on their way home from work and ladies out doing a bit of evening shopping, girls calling cheery hellos, boys whistling. He was about to turn back inside, away from the agonizing absence of it all, when he heard something disturbing the silence. Flapping. He turned around and saw a large black bird land on a ledge across the road. Such shiny feathers and a prominent beak. He stepped closer. A raven? It couldn't be. Those hadn't been prowling around London even when he was a boy back in the 19th century. Tom squinted, suddenly curious, even excited. An unfamiliar emotion these days. He loved birds, had grown up spending time out at Gran's in the country, and she taught him all about them. Ravens were the cleverest of all birds, and cleverer than a dog by far, she'd always said. And that had to be a raven. Tom walked gingerly towards the animal. It stood still, staring at him with those glittering, otherworldly eyes. He thought it must be someone's pet to be so fearless around humans. He fished a bit of jerky out of his pocket and threw it towards the creature, who gobbled it up and seemed to perk up. It cocked its head, and then, to Tom's shock, it squawked out.
Dour.
Tom gasped and stumbled backward. When his hand hit the brewery door, the memory hit him. Gran had said that some ravens could talk. They learned to speak when they were around people. But apparently, this one didn't intend to stay for a chat. It took off into the air, awkwardly at a strange angle, heading towards a clear landmark. The monolithic Tower of London, looming over the River Thames amidst the fog. Tom watched it fly for a moment, then broke into a smile and stepped back inside. What a strange, pleasant surprise. It must be one of the tower ravens. He'd heard of them, something his gran would have loved to see. Surely they weren't supposed to leave the tower grounds. That explained the lopsided flight. The raven probably had clipped wing feathers, meant to unbalance him and keep him from flying too far. But the feathers had to be trimmed regularly. This one must have grown out a fair bit while the beefeaters up at the tower were distracted. And who could blame them? Ravens weren't anyone's priority these days. Still, an unexpected highlight to his evening. Unfortunately, as Tom closed up shop and headed home for the evening, his thoughts returned inevitably to the boy he'd lost. He pictured the way Bobby's mother had stared at him when he delivered the news, eyes like daggers. That night, Tom's mind drifted uneasily on the edges of sleep. Images of explosions and Bobby's face shifted on the back of his eyelids. In his mind's eye, it seemed that the German bombers themselves had jet black feathers and large, cawing beaks. Suddenly, Tom sat up, knocking his hot water bottle to the floor. The dream had unsettled him deeply, but it had also given him an idea. He'd suddenly remembered something his gran had said about the power of birds, that they could sense danger. And smart ones like ravens would alert you when they did, too. If he could get a raven to the brewery, it would be able to warn his boys when an air raid was coming. Tom woke up the next morning more convinced than ever. If he could get a raven, he could keep the brewery running, keep providing London with beer, and keep his boys safe while doing it. It shouldn't be hard to procure one either. After all, the tower had quite a few. Surely they could spare a bird for a good cause. After checking in at the brewery, Tom marched over to that imposing grey sanctum that was the Tower of London. He hesitated as he approached the yeoman standing guard. They were intimidating, almost like royals themselves, dressed in those fancy uniforms and standing before the ancient stone walls. But Tom rallied himself. He might be a common old brewer, but they were all in the same fight, trying to keep England and her people safe in these dark, dangerous times. He marched up to one of the guards.
"I'd like to speak with whoever is in charge of the ravens here, please."
The yeoman raised an eyebrow and looked to his partner. The other man shrugged. They could turn him away, or they could just pass on the inconvenience to the Raven Master, who loved talking about the birds anyway. They gave him directions. A few minutes later, Tom was standing in front of a black and red uniformed brown bearded beefeater, no different from the rest of them as far as he could see. But this was the man, his chance to state his case. So he launched into his story about bombs, Bobby, ravens, and how he thought they'd sound the alarm when an air raid was coming. All the while, the Raven Master looked at him impassively. When Tom finished, he finally spoke.
"I'm afraid that won't be possible," said the Raven Master. "Don't get me wrong, your theory isn't bad. The ravens have been making an awful racket every time an air raid is coming, before any official alerts make it through, too. But they're needed here."
Tom blinked. Needed here? For what? But it didn't take him long to come up with an answer. It was because they were the kings. The ravens were for the toffs, not a simple brewer like him. Even the ravages of wartime failed to equalize English society, it seemed. But as he opened his mouth to give the Raven Master a piece of his mind, a bird fluttered to the beefeater's side. The Raven Master glanced down at the bird, and then the pair turned back to stare at Tom together. The brewer felt a strange instinct to turn and run, not something he felt often at his age. But the way those ravens' eyes glittered, the way, suddenly, the Raven Master looked almost bird-like himself, it was uncanny. Tom swallowed and nodded. Then he turned and hurried off with as much haste as he could muster. He couldn't argue with those faces. But maybe, just maybe, he could get himself a Tower Raven some other way. The Raven Master watched the brewer go, feeling a deep fatigue set in. The man had a point. The ravens could help the people of this city, but he couldn't let them leave the tower. He knew the prophecy, and ever since this damn war had started, he'd taken to repeating it in his head constantly, hounding him in the way only a sacred duty could. If the number of tower ravens ever went lower than 6, the tower would fall, and so would England. Right now, he had exactly 6 birds, and they weren't likely to propagate anytime soon. This was his purpose, keeping that number steady. Every day he kept his ravens safe, he staved off disaster. Not for himself or a single raven, but for England. He might not be on the front, but he had a crucial role to play in this war. As winter's early evening began its descent, the Raven Master was sitting in his office, listening to a newscast and thinking about the importance of his work. Once this bulletin ended, he'd collect his birds and put them to bed. Meanwhile, however, someone else had important business at the tower. Tom, the brewer, was making his way towards its grey stone walls, determined to steal himself a bird. Coming up, Tom risks all of England for his brewery boys. Hi listeners, Alastair here with a new series I think you'll really enjoy. They say there's someone for everyone. A soul to share your secrets with, a companion to grow old with, a conspirator to commit crimes with? Starting this February on Spotify, learn about the lethal and legendary lovers who fought the law in the Parcast limited series, Criminal Couples. If you've ever referred to your best friend or beloved as your partner in crime, this exclusive series is for you. Discover the radical side of romance with a collection of unlawful love stories from shows across the Parcast Network. Track the nefarious exploits of Bonnie and Clyde, meet married mafiosos Jackie and Thelma Wright, and enter Fred and Rose West's real-life House of Horrors. Fall for the most famous and feared pairs in history in the Spotify original from Parcast, Criminal Couples. Enjoy two-part episodes every Monday starting February 1st. Follow Criminal Couples free and exclusively on Spotify. Now, back to the story. The Tower of London was a fortress, and Tom was an old man. He knew he wouldn't be able to scale its walls. But he'd been working in London for long enough to know there was always a way into one of these big old buildings, if you could blend in with the people who were always coming and going. The people who serviced them, fed them, kept their fires hot.
"I'm here with some coal for the furnaces," he announced to the yeoman at the side gate, gesturing at the little cart he was pulling behind him.
The guard looked at him suspiciously, so Tom kept talking, preempting any questions.
"Special order. Orders of the..."
He looked down at a scribbled receipt in his hand.
"Raven Master, it looks like."
He stuck the paper in the guard's face, to the man's annoyance. Without looking at it, the man gestured Tom into the grounds with a warning.
"Hurry up. We're locking up soon, and I won't stand here waiting for you either."
Tom nodded vigorously, pulling his cap lower over his forehead and hurrying onwards. He turned a corner, parked his so-called coal cart in the shadows of an ancient stone wall, and pulled out a packet full of fresh fish and a burlap sack. Then, keeping his head down, he began moving swiftly through the grounds, looking for a raven. It didn't take him long. The bird almost looked like it was waiting for him. It was perched on a bench next to a small plaque memorializing Anne Boleyn's execution site. Its feathers were ruffled around its body like a cloak. Its beak glinted in the unsteady lamplight. As he stared into its glittering eyes, Tom felt a twinge of nerves. But he knew ravens. He knew they were eerie, off-putting, too aware. Like they didn't just see you, they saw beyond you. And that was exactly why he needed one. He steeled himself, pulled his eyes away from the ravens, and unwrapped his fish from its paper. He tossed it toward the bird, who descended on the snack so fast he almost didn't see it move. Tom stared for a moment. Funny that a harbinger of death might be his savior, but there was no time for dallying. In one fell swoop, Tom threw a sack over the bird. Inside the sack, the raven erupted into a deafening flurry of feathers and caws. Tom's heart started pounding. He had to hurry. He grabbed his sack, scooped up the bird, and ran for his cart as fast as his creaky joints would go. He slipped the bird under a heavier tarp and headed towards the side gate. The bird, stunned perhaps, went blessedly quiet just as he approached the beefeater. He gave a quick nod and kept walking. As soon as he rounded the corner, Tom ran. He ran like the young man he hadn't been for decades, all the way home. It didn't take the Raven Master long to realize that one of his charges was gone. He went out to call his birds home to roost, and only five birds appeared: Georgina, Edwina, Fritz, Monocle, Poe. But Forks was missing. He immediately felt nauseous. His head ached. He thought he might faint. He had failed in his one task, his contribution to the war effort. And now, England would fall to the Nazis. He ran to a toilet and vomited. Then he took a moment to think. Perhaps all was not lost just yet. Sometimes his ravens flew off for a visit here or there around the city, and he had let their tail feathers grow a bit long. That had to be it. Fawkes would come back. He was simply out for a bit. And after all, the prophecy was vague. Surely leaving the tower meant an extended period away, not a single night. Unfortunately, over the course of the next few days, the Raven Master's wishful thinking proved to be just that. Fawkes did not come home, because he was busy working for Tom's Brewery very successfully. Long before official air raid warnings reached the boys, he started his anxious squawking and fluttering. The staff immediately decamped for their basement shelter, taking the bird down with them, and Tom was delighted. No one had come for him yet. Even if they did, he'd be able to show them that his little theft had been in the interest of English lives. And if that didn't absolve him in their eyes, it at least absolved him in his own. All was well, or so he thought. Up at the tower, the Raven Master was increasingly convinced doom was coming for England, starting with himself. First, an old wall caved in a mere stone's throw from where he was doing his rounds. Next, there was the fireplace in his tower apartment. Somehow, it exploded as he was fixing himself a cup of tea. When the smoke cleared, the entire room was covered in soot, although thankfully, not actual flame. The birds were acting odd too, taking flight when he tried to stroke them, circling him at unexpected moments, eyes glinting red, cawing, screeching out their English words like threats.
Tower, Anne Boleyn, rat.
Luckily, the Nazis didn't seem to have won the war yet. That was something. Perhaps the curse unraveled slowly, like most ancient technologies. Maybe he had time to recover the bird, to bring the tower numbers back to 6, to save England and himself. So the Raven Master began combing the streets around the tower in widening circles, his pockets full of meat scraps. He called out to Fawkes, but no bird came out to meet him. So he kept going, widening his search. He got more desperate. His cries turned panicked, until finally, someone answered. Tom, the brewer. Tom, walking back to the brewery from the chip shop, was alarmed at the manic-looking man standing in the middle of the street. He was nothing like the distant, posh beef-eater he remembered from a few days before. Tom stepped towards the man cautiously.
"You're the Raven Master, aren't you?"
The Raven Master turned towards him slowly, his eyes focusing in as if from a long way away. He nodded and felt something like hope emerge from his panic.
"And you're the brewer who wanted a raven. You know about birds. Have you seen any of mine? I'm missing one, and I must get him back, or terrible things will happen. They're already happening."
Tom felt his concern deepen. Something was clearly wrong with the man. God knows what this crazed fellow would do if he found a raven amongst Tom's vats of hops munching on sausage. But, Lord, the man clearly needed help.
"I haven't seen your bird, no. I'm really sorry, old fellow. Maybe he'll turn up."
The Raven Master shook his head vigorously. There was no more time for the bird to show up. He closed his eyes, trying to breathe slowly, and opened them again immediately. All he could see on the back of his eyelids were images of Nazis marching through London streets with his head on a stick.
"Perhaps I need a drink. Is that something you could help with, brewer?" he asked plaintively.
Tom's eyes darted around the street nervously. He hemmed and hawed for a moment. He couldn't let the chap near his brewery, and the stolen bird. He needed a way out of this. Inspiration struck a moment later. he had an idea. Tom explained,
"Look, I know a woman, an old friend of my gran's, a bird expert. She knows all the old ways, always seems to attract a flock of birds around her, and she's not far from here. Maybe she'll have seen your raven, or even have another raven you could take up to the tower. You never know."
Tom felt a twitch of guilt at that. He could have checked with her before stealing himself a bird. Hadn't thought of it at the time. And now this poor man was clearly in some kind of state. But he could make it right.
"Come on, I'll take you to her now. The brewery will do fine without me for a bit longer."
The Raven Master didn't hesitate. He took off after Tom and followed him through the neighborhood down to a little street near the water. A small building was perched haphazardly there, looking as if it could tumble into the Thames at any moment. Tom knocked at the black door. A tiny, wrinkled woman answered, surrounded by a soft hum of flapping wings.
"Tom, what a pleasant surprise. Ah, and I see you've brought the Tower Raven Master."
Tom was far more surprised at that than the old woman appeared to be. Why did she know the Raven Master? But he knew better than to question a granny, so he simply nodded and explained the reason for their visit. As he talked, she ushered them inside to a space that looked more like an aviary than a sitting room. But she didn't reply to the story. Instead, she told Tom to go put on the kettle for some tea. Once she was alone with the Raven Master, she was silent for several long moments. She stared at him intently, and then finally, she spoke.
"You failed your duty, I see, letting the tower's unkindness fall to five, while the Nazis are knocking at our door, no less."
She started shuffling around the room, picking up an array of trinkets, string, a gold pendant, and finally, a shiny black feather. The Raven Master's panic gave way to amazement. They told the story of the prophecy on Tower Tours, but mostly for the children. He hadn't thought anyone believed it. Clearly, this woman understood how crucial his job was.
"I will do whatever it takes to fix it, I assure you," he pledged.
But the old woman shook her head.
"I only have one solution for you. One way left for you to remedy your failure and save England. It's devastatingly simple. Perhaps also devastating."
As she stared into his eyes, the old woman seemed to grow larger. The birds flitting around her began beating their wings louder, more powerfully, until the room seemed to be alive with swirling feathers. Tom came back in a few minutes later to find the old lady sitting in her armchair and the Raven Master gone. In his place was a large, shiny black raven on the back of the sofa. The woman gestured towards the bird drowsily.
"The Raven Master had to go. But take that bird up to the tower for him, will you? And tell the fellows working up there that they will need to hire a new Raven Master. Someone less wrapped up in himself, with a steadier temperament."
She perked up.
"Actually, you are a rather good man for the job, Tom. You wouldn't lose a raven. You'd only ever gather more."
Like the complicated job of keeping track of the Tower Ravens, it's difficult to keep track of all the threads that play into this superstition. Legend says that the 17th century King Charles II received the raven prophecy and demanded the birds be retained to protect his crown. But actually, there are no reports of ravens at the Tower of London until the Victorian era, making the legend just that, a legend. What's more likely is that the Victorians decided to bring ravens to the tower themselves, perhaps influenced by Gothic literature, such as a popular poem of the day, Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. See, at the time, the Tower of London was treated as a haunted house experience for tourists due to the many high-profile executions that happened there. It makes sense that someone might try to enhance the experience with some corpse-munching, beady-eyed birds. It'd certainly be a clever marketing move. There is perhaps more to the arrival of the birds than spooking tourists, however. The scholar Boreas Sachs, who has written a book about the Tower Ravens, suggests a connection to the ancient Celtic legend of King Bran, the raven god. Bran had 7 followers on his mythic journey to London, just as the tower is said to keep 7 ravens to avoid the fate of only 6. Bran was also beheaded, which ties his legend to the real executions that took place at the tower. According to another legend, Bran's head is said to have been buried underneath the tower, where it protected England from invaders until King Arthur dug it up. The specific superstition about 6 tower ravens guarding England from ruin, however, may be even more recent still. Documents in Britain's National Archive show that during World War II, a brewer asked the tower for a raven, perhaps to help alert his workers to air raids. He was turned down. Scholars like Boreas Sachs believe this is the likeliest origin of the prophecy story. It was only after the war, and the brewer's request, that tourists started hearing ravens protected the tower and all of England. The birds were no longer just a spooky fixture of the tower. They were mythical guardians, like Bran the Raven God himself. So why did all the bird symbolism catch on? One reason may be that both the Victorian era and the aftermath of World War II were times of radical change, which is exactly when people tend to search for a connection with the ancient world. We look for continuity where there may be none, and in the process, build a sense of identity and purpose that feels familiar and safe and worth fighting for, even if it's altogether new. Every person on the English home front during World War II wanted to find a way to help save their country, and inadvertently, this helped create a myth that would endure in England evermore. Thanks again for listening to Superstitions. We will be back Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Superstitions and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Until next time, be wary of the things you cannot explain. Superstitions is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Trent Williamson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Isabella Way. This episode of Superstitions was written by Nora Battelle, with writing assistance by Andrew Kelleher, fact-checking by Claire Cronin, and research by Brian Petrus. I'm Alastair Murden. Listeners, don't forget to check out the new Parcast limited series, Criminal Couples. From apocalyptic cult leaders to bank-robbing bandits, these couples give new meaning to Till Death Do Us Part. Enjoy 2-part episodes every Monday starting February 1st. Follow Criminal Couples free and exclusively on Spotify.